Well, again, welcome back. I hope that your Feast of Tabernacles and your last great day were fantastic. Coming home from the feast is always kind of bittersweet. I think for all of us, we enjoyed our feast in Ireland very much, and in many ways, we're sad to see it come to an end. We were able to go to Scotland for about 6 days and tour around and visit the Farquharson town. That was kind of nice, you know. I threw his name around every time I got a chance to see if I could get a bigger piece of cake or something, but kind of worked, I think. But you know, we're settling back into our daily work, or if you're going to school and all the other responsibilities that were left behind just a couple of weeks ago, it can be kind of challenging. On the other hand, there is nothing like being home after a long trip. Many of you perhaps have a favorite chair that you came home to, perhaps a bed and a pillow that suits your needs better than what you had for the last week and a half or so. And I'm sure that both of those items or any other items that you missed while you were gone welcomed you back with open arms. We were anticipating, we're having a screen porch built around our deck, and we were really anticipating a lot of work being done. We were gone 3 weeks, and we thought, man, this is really going to be great. We're going to get back, and this is going to be nearly complete. No, not so much. And when I say not so much, I mean nothing. It's just like it was when we left. So this morning, when I was sitting out there drinking my coffee, I thought about Mr. Beach. Mr. Beach has a nice screened-in porch, no bugs, you know, drinking his coffee. But I'm sure it welcomed him back. I tell you one thing I did enjoy getting back is, you know, driving on the right side of the road, on a road that's wide enough for the vehicle that you're actually traveling on. That was an experience. We were riding around Scotland and Ireland, and, you know, had a lot of help. I had Angie right there, and Grandma was in the back seat helping me navigate or letting me know when I hit something or brushed up against something. But it was nice to have some nice wide streets to be back to. And, you know, we longed to see our daughter, Amber. We saw her last night. We missed Ryder and Tatum and Hattie Mae and, you know, Gordon. Favorite son-in-law. Very favorite, actually. We missed them. We were glad to see them for a few minutes last night. But it feels good to be home, doesn't it? You know, the feast is the highlight of the year for most of us. And it seems to go by so quickly. You know, you start the feast and then it is gone. And how easy it is and quickly it seems that we're back in our routines, as Corey mentioned earlier. Our daily routines. In state government, we have what is called an individual performance plan, or IPP. If you are a state employee, and there's at least one other state employee in this room today, you know this process quite well. All employees have a performance plan for the coming year that contain SMART goals. SMART, S-M-A-R-T, is used as an acronym that stands for Specific, Measurable, Achievable, Realistic, and Time-Bound. The process for SMART goals is not a secret, and you can look it up online and learn more about this process if you choose to do so. In fact, the online comments say that SMART, all caps, is an acronym for goal setting that stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. The framework helps create clear, actionable objectives by defining what needs to be accomplished, how progress will be tracked, ensuring it is realistic, and setting a deadline. Using the SMART method helps eliminate guesswork, provides clear direction, and increases the likelihood of success for both personnel, or for both personal and professional goals. Specific. Your goals should be clear and well-defined, answering questions like, what do I want to accomplish? And who is responsible? As an example, instead of, I want to improve my fitness, a specific goal is, I want to run a 5K race. Measurable. You need specific criteria to track your progress towards the goal. Example, for the 5K race, the measurable goal is I will track my progress by timing my runs and aiming to decrease my time by 30 seconds per mile. Achievable. The goal must be realistic and attainable with the resources and time available. Example, if you have never run before, a goal of running a 5K in 1 month might be too ambitious. A more achievable goal would be to run a 5K in, say, 3 months, which is still challenging but possible. Relevant. The goal should align with your broader objectives and values. Example, if your long-term goal is to become a marathon runner, then training for a 5K is a relevant first step. And then time-bound. Set a specific deadline or time frame for achieving the goal to create a sense of urgency. As an example, I will run the 5K race in 3 months. All the goals that staff are given in our workplace meet the SMART goal standard. They are, again, to be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. But they also must fit in with the state's vision and values established by the executive leadership. These goals identify areas that each employee is to be focused on during the coming year as they fulfill their role in the workplace. There are interim evaluations during the year, and at the end of the evaluation process, each employee receives a rating on how well they perform during the year. Assuming there's money in the budget each year, employees are compensated based in part by the rating that they received. Now, because of the way the budget works in state government, it's unknown what the compensation or reward will be until the end of the cycle. I understand that process, but I've always thought it'd be nice to have a goal of what how much money am I going to get? What's going to be my increase? How will I benefit if I'm successful? Just before I began my feast travels, I completed SMART goals for myself, I have to write my own, and for the employees that report directly to me. It is required, and it sets the tone for planning for a new work year. In my non-work life, I do a fair amount of planning between one feast and the next, and the beginning of the next, the end of the feast, and starting in the next year, I think about things in terms of, again, feast to feast. And I know that you're probably the same. Each year after the feast days end, our second tithe in our household is pretty much empty, and it needs to be replenished. So that's one example of between feast planning. It's time to start planning financially for the feast in 2026. The end of the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day can also be a marker in the year to consider some spiritual goals to keep us moving forward in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. As a new post-feast year begins, I thought we might consider starting out this year, with some spiritual SMART goals that could help us keep our focus where it should be during the coming year. It can be easy to allow a post-feast letdown affect our well-being, both physically and spiritually, as we are introduced back into the daily grind of life. So I propose that each of us establish a spiritual individual performance plan, or IPP, to keep us moving forward, to keep us moving in the right direction. Unlike the IPP plan that we use in the workplace, this spiritual IPP will contain SMART goals that you will need to create for yourself. Individually, each of us should determine what areas of our spiritual lives could use some improvement. And person by person, of course, these goals will be different and should be. When considering some of your SMART goal options, you might consider following up on some of the messages that grabbed your attention during the feast this year. You could take a deep dive into a topic that you want to know more about or need to know more about. I'd like to have at least 5 goals to focus on during an IPP year. Whatever your goals you choose to go into, your spiritual IPP should be specific. They should be measurable, achievable, and realistic, and they should be time-bound. There are some goals that we as God's people should have in common on our individual list as well. Well, I hope to encourage you to add to your spiritual IPP goal list that are specific to your spiritual growth needs. I would like to offer 3 broad areas that I think all of us could use as a start. There are a lot of specifics that can be found in each of these. And depending on your spiritual needs or interests, there's a lot that you can search for within these parameters. The Feast of Tabernacles in 2026 will be here in about 343 days. It's a little earlier this next year. And here are the broad categories you might consider pulling into your spiritual IPP for this year. First, for the next 343 days, remember your special calling. Second, and we'll discuss each one of these. Second, for the next 343 days, strive to overcome where needed. Third, for the next 343 days, keep your mind focused on your spiritual future. Again, the message today is to encourage you to set some spiritual SMART goals for the coming year. These 3 broad areas for specific goals to be pulled from can be replaced with any aspect of living God's way and should be geared toward your spiritual development. You've got to decide through prayer and contact with God what those spiritual needs are. So the first goal or broad area to consider when pulling together a few SMART goals to work on post-feast could be centered around this. For the next 343 days, remember your special calling. Remember your special calling. Regardless of the trials that might come our way this year, we should take great comfort in knowing that we have received a calling from God that is sure. We should be very positive about that. That should lift us up. John chapter 6 and verse 44 through 47 tells us that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, this is verse 45, John 6, 45, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most surely I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. We know that we didn't just stumble into God's truth. If you have understanding about the ways of God, you were led to it. If you are a baptized member of the church, you received a specific calling from God himself. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Scripture makes it very clear that God does the calling. He has called us individually and for a great purpose. You know, that's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing to consider. It's suggested that there's somewhere north of 8.2 billion people alive on the earth today. And God has purposefully called each one of us, very few in number. He's not called everyone at this time, so our calling is unique and it's special. Our potential far exceeds anything this world has to offer. We are the first fruits called into the family of God. We are blessed with a remarkable role in the family and in the kingdom that his family will rule over under the leadership of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be called, to have this truth now. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. Kind of makes us wonder what made God take notice of us? Why did he pick us? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet." We were purposely created a little lower than the angels, yet with the potential to have all things, including angels, put under our feet. Our potential is nothing short of amazing. We are called to be glorified members of the family of God. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you can put your name in there, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We should remember that we are a chosen people. Each one of us was individually chosen for a special purpose. So one of our spiritual individual performance plan SMART goals could be to remember our special calling for the next 343 days. Each of us has a special calling again from God. And with that calling comes a responsibility, a big responsibility, which brings us to our second goal to include in our spiritual IPP. That could be centered around this. For the next 343 days, strive to overcome. Strive to overcome. Now, this one may look a little different for everyone, and you know it should. God has high expectations for his children. You and I have a responsibility to conform to the image of God. We are to develop his attributes in all areas of our lives. And I think this does not come naturally to man. It doesn't come naturally to any of us. We have to work at it day by day, constantly overcoming. We have an unlimited number of things we could probably look at in our own lives and pick out some that we really need to focus in on, be very specific, and work on in the coming year. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Rather than get too focused on the daily cares of this life, we should remain focused on our responsibility to overcome, with the reward of eternal life in the kingdom, always in our thoughts. Again, looking to that future. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. Revelation 3 and verse 12 says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." Again, we are encouraged to keep an eye on overcoming, and we are encouraged here to keep looking forward to the kingdom of God and our magnificent role in it. here in Revelation 21 and verse 7 adds this: "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Again, what is it that we are to overcome? We are to overcome the ways of this world, the attitudes and behaviors that follow the world that Satan has been in control of for so long. We must overcome our own carnal nature and the ways of our great adversary, and we should live according to the will of God. We are to take on his nature and live by the principles that are provided to us through his word. God's commandments, his statutes, his judgments are the basis for how we are to conduct our lives. The principles that we apply to our thoughts and our actions and all of our behaviors come from the word of God. To the extent that we have fallen short, we are to strive to overcome. This is a process that is ongoing, and it's something that's never ending. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious," skipping down to verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." That indicates to me that we are to set an example of God's way of life in action for others to see. Verse 13 says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." Verse 17 says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." God's people are required to be respectful of authority. We are to show honor and respect to those and care for the welfare of others. These are verses that encourage us to be mindful of our conduct and, again, to be examples that we set for others. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8 says this. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are open, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." The Bible is our guide to overcoming. These words of truth contain all of the principles that we need to overcome. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, some well-known verses here, but we'll read them anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given each of us an individual performance plan that requires us to overcome the ways of this world, and again, we are to conform to his image. For most of us, this SMART goal is a handful, and we should keep our minds focused and on guard during the coming year. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21 adds, Revelation 3 verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So the stakes are very high here. So one of the spiritual individual performance plan goals could be to follow the example of Christ and strive to overcome where needed in the next 343 days. The third goal that could be included in our spiritual IPP for this coming year could be centered around this. For the next 343 days, keep your mind focused on the future. Keep your mind focused on the future. It's easy to get down and look at the news and see all the things that are going on and see the struggles that most of us have at work or school and just the different things that are going on in the world and lose our focus on what really matters, and that's our future. During the feast this year, I'm sure that a lot of time was spent, as it was in Ireland, during the messages that you heard, highlighting scriptures that gave you a glimpse of what it will be like in the kingdom of God. And again, this was certainly true where we were. This is one of the important lessons that we are to take away from the feast and the last great day. We are to be reminded of what our inheritance will look like. Many of you may remember this statement, the world tomorrow, what it will be like. Now, you got to go back a few years for that one. This was on the church's magazine many years ago, and there are booklets and articles that speak to that statement as well. Historically, and rightly so, this was the theme of the feast days that we were just observing. Our inheritance is the kingdom of God, and it is important that we keep our minds focused on the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day and what it will be like. Again, regardless of the trials that may come as a new year begins between feasts, we should take comfort in knowing that our reward, our future in the kingdom is worth it, and it looks fantastic. I'd like to spend a few minutes this afternoon reviewing some of the scriptures that were read during the feast and the Last Great Day to help us keep our minds focused on the coming year. This is such an important part of the plan of God that many scriptures are given throughout the Bible to ensure that we understand just how wonderful our inheritance really is. We can't cover them all, but I would like to read over some of them as they provide encouragement for us as we see, again, what our future looks like. I'm sure that many of these, or perhaps all of these, were read during the feast that you attended as well. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Won't it be great when many people will desire to come up to the mountain of the Lord and seek the teachings of God's ways? People from all nations will desire to be taught how to live as God intended, and will be blessed for doing so. Wouldn't it be great when all people are given the opportunity to have and respond to a calling of their own, as you and I have today, but in their case, without the influence of Satan and his ways? Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." Can you just imagine a future where hunger has been eliminated? The ground will be healed and rain will fall when and where it's needed. Verse 14 says, "I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land which I have given them, says the Lord your God." Imagine a future where everyone has a place to live with gardens and fruit trees to enjoy, and they will not have to fear anyone taking it away from them. Micah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It says, "He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." In the future, we can continue to look forward to all strife will be taken away. Wars won't be a thing. God won't allow it. You and I won't allow it. Verse 4 says, "But everyone shall sit under his vineyard and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." We are so privileged to have the blessings that we have in this country, but there are many around the globe that live in fear, constant fear. We met a gentleman at the feast. He lived about 100 miles from Dublin, where we were. He's the only guy in the church. He's the only one that's a member of CAGWA. And he said he's come to the United States a few times, and he just commented, "You know, we look around, we watch the news, we're careful about going to an ATM by ourselves, and we should be these days," and that kind of stuff. But he just commented to us how free he felt in America. When he came to America, he was free. He wasn't worried about checkpoints and being harassed by the police and the civil authorities and things like that, and how refreshing it was. And I thought, well, you know, that's sometimes we think about a future world that's way better than we've got it, but there are places that don't have the freedoms that we have and don't have it as well as we do. Won't it be great when God comes back and gives even a better feeling of peace and security for everyone? In the future, everyone will have peace and not be afraid. They will have their own nice home and with fruit in abundance to enjoy. I saw a post on Facebook. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. You know, it's hard for me to judge what's true and what's not. But it showed a picket fence. Maybe you saw this. A picket fence in Norway. And there was bags of fresh apples about every 4 feet hanging on the outside of the fence. Just a plastic bag had whatever, you know, 10 apples in it, each one. And the post indicated that in Norway, when your apple harvest produced more than you could use, it was customary to put the abundance out for others to enjoy, as opposed to just letting it sit on the ground and rot. Again, I don't know if this post is true, but I sure like the idea of sharing the abundance that you have been blessed with others. What a great concept. In Isaiah chapter 35, we're provided a vision of the future glory of Zion. Isaiah 35, we'll read verses 1 through 10. Isaiah 35 and verse 1 says, "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground will become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall be there, shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I wanted to read all the verses in this particular chapter because of all the wonderful things that God will restore. And it leads up to the last sentence, verse 10 there. It says, they shall obtain joy and gladness, as we just read. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a beautiful set of words that is. That's what we need to be looking forward to. This is what the future kingdom of God is going to look like. Deserts will flourish with life. Strength and healing will be provided. Fear will be removed. And joy and gladness will replace sorrow and sighing. Imagine living in a community where the citizens are happy. They're safe and well provided for. So much so that they cannot help but sing out as a reaction to the joy and happiness they are feeling. This is what we need to be keeping in our minds as we go through another year. This is the future we have to look forward to, and the future that we will assist Jesus Christ bring about to others after his return. There are so many scriptures like these that makes it clear that God wanted us to visualize what our future will look like and use that as a motivator to stay true to our calling and to continually overcome. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 11. We'll read verses 6 through 9. Isaiah chapter 11. This is for the animal lovers among our group. It says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Verse 9 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In the kingdom, even the nature of animals will be changed. I really think these are encouraging scriptures, things that we need to keep focused on all year long. No one will be allowed to hurt or destroy because everyone will be living the way God intended. They'll be living his way. I'm not going to turn there, but Isaiah 30, verses 18 through 26, if you're a note taker, you might consider jotting that set of verses down. These scriptures cover some of the same intended improvements, as already mentioned, and hint that the need for hospitals, for example, will be a thing of the past. You might also write down Ezekiel 36, verses 27 and 28, I'd like to quote that quickly from the King James. Again, this is one of the many few verses that encourage us to look out for our future, and it's one that stands out to me. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. It says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Again, that really stands out to me. God will give them his Holy Spirit, which will lead them to his truth and help them to learn to apply that to their lives. This is the same Spirit that you and I have been given, and with it, they too will have an opportunity for an everlasting inheritance. I'd like to turn to one more set of scriptures, Revelation chapter 21. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. It says, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4 says, And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's been my favorite verse for quite a while, that verse 4 there. Because to me, it kind of sums up the end result of God's future plans for us and for all mankind, as explained through the Holy Days. So one of our spiritual individual performance plan goals could be centered around us keeping our minds focused on the future again for the next 343 days. The Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day for 2025 are now over, as we know. I hope for all of us it was one of the best feasts ever. We need to do all we can to keep our spiritual gains that we have made from observing these wonderful feast days and continue to add to our spiritual development. So again, I would like to encourage all of us to start this post-feast year with some spiritual goals in mind. Develop your own spiritual individual performance plan, or IPP, that meets your individual development needs. Through our prayer and Bible study, we can check our progress daily and make any adjustments to our plan that is needed. We do have some benchmarks throughout the year to check on our progress as well. The Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, will be here in the spring, and it will give us an opportunity to examine where we stand in our journey towards the kingdom of God. Unlike the work IPP that was described earlier, we know in advance what our reward will be. We know what the future holds. And we know with certainty that our reward is sure and that it is completely funded as promised. The first day of the Feast of Tabernacles in 2026 begins in just about 343 days. Between now and then, I hope you are encouraged to work on your spiritual individual performance plans. I hope the three SMART goal topics that we have discussed this afternoon will help as you consider what goals you will set for yourself in the coming year. If we remember our special calling, if we strive to overcome and keep our minds focused on our future in the coming kingdom of God, we will be focused and ready to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day in just about 343 days. It is really so good to see all of you here today. Hope you're having a great Sabbath.